10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Today we're talking to the new mom, Lo Bosworth, all about her journey to pregnancy, her new baby girl, her wild postpartum journey, and whether or not she's able to balance it all, and if that's even really a thing. How are you feeling? How are you doing?
I have had such a complicated postpartum. I gave birth at the top of the year and gave birth at 38 weeks. I went to my 38-week appointment and my doctor was like, guess what? It's looking like preeclampsia. Time to go to the hospital. We're going to deliver your baby today. So that was a surprise. But I always had my C-section planned because I had insulin-supported gestational diabetes. And so my doctor said, we have to deliver you at 39 weeks because you're on medication and there's risks and things like that. So I delivered even earlier than that, which definitely caught me by surprise.
Like, did you even have a bag packed or the car seat or anything?
Barely. And it was also the first week back at work in January. So I call my husband outside the doctor's office. I'm like, well, it looks like we're not going to be working this week. We're going to be at the hospital having a baby. And my C-section was relatively uneventful, but what has happened since has been a series of misfortunate events. I retained placenta and...
Wait, what does that mean?
It's so like when they take the placenta out of you, a piece gets left behind. And after you give birth, your body immediately recognizes that as a foreign body. And so it creates an immune response and you can die from retained placenta.
How does that happen? Is that like a doctor error or how does that even occur?
I think that it can sometimes just happen. Yeah, they're not supposed to leave placenta behind.
Yeah, I would think.
One would think. But it can happen. It's like can be a surgical complication and it can happen. Do you know what I mean? So I gave birth and then a month later, I started bleeding really heavily. And then over the next few weeks, we found out that I had retained placenta. And ultimately, I had surgery a couple of weeks ago and I thought it was finally over. And then the pathology came back on the lining of the uterus that they got out. And it turns out I had a really bad chronic infection of the uterine lining because when you retain placenta, the inside of your uterus can't fully close up and heal. And the uterus is not sterile. And so it's very easy to get an infection. So that was one thing. And then the actual placenta itself was like, the cells in it were still growing at a pretty alarming rate. The role of placenta cells is to grow rapidly, but to see that activity still happening in tissue that was assumed to be dead was alarming and raised flags for my medical team because there is a certain type of tumor that can grow in this placenta tissue. It's called ETT, and it's very rare. There's only been a couple hundred documented cases. And if your HCG is above zero, if it's not negative, then that is like a malignancy marker. And thankfully, my HCG was zero. So it hadn't gotten that far or it just wasn't turning into that. But pretty scary experience to have the pathology come back. And we have to consider, is cancer on the table because of this whole nightmare of a situation?
God. I'm so sorry.
Thankfully, that hasn't been the case, but now I have to do like monitoring and making sure that nothing else is happening. So I'm starting now to feel a lot better, but it has been a very wild postpartum ride. And it's so much about me and not about my incredible, beautiful daughter when I talk about this stuff because my relationship and like identity shift into new motherhood has been so profound for me in lieu of everything that has happened physically. And she's so perfect and so beautiful and like laughing and talking and all of these incredible things. And it's just really remarkable to me how much we can carry and do as women, even when we're sick and recovering from surgery and discovering how to be a mom for the first time.
I mean, it's incredible. It's like your women are such powerhouses, and then this really just takes it to a whole other level of awareness and appreciation, I'm sure, for you as a first-time mom to have all of these things that are on your plate that you're managing and also navigating motherhood for the first time and the change of your identity, your sense of self and your priorities and what you even care about anymore. What's that been like for you?
It feels like my brain is constantly firing. And I have come to accept that that is probably the new normal. I think a lot of new parents are like, oh my gosh, when can I just rest and have an hour for myself? And even when I'm resting and I have an hour for myself, my brain does not stop, whether it is thinking about what the baby needs, what I need to buy, what I need to do, what I need for work. And I think that has been a big shift for me. I'm an entrepreneur. I own and operate all of these businesses, but this has taken sort of the brain output to another level. And at some point, I have to find the off-ramp because doing this forever is not sustainable, right? And I think a lot of moms say this, is that after they're a mom, maybe for the first year or 2 years, they realize that something has to give so that they can dedicate themselves more to what they really care about. And so that, I think, is probably looming for me. I'm too scattered right now as a new parent to figure out what is the most important thing in all of these things, right? We prioritize our daughter, of course, obviously, but my social life has fallen by the wayside. Exercise has fallen by the wayside. Sometimes eating healthy has fallen by the wayside because it's just, oh my gosh, we're on the 90-minute schedule or the 3-hour schedule and I have a call and we have the things and the things and the things. And that has been my new motherhood experience. And I don't think that's a unique experience.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that you hear that from so many people, but like for you, since you already had such a busy life of so many responsibilities. And as you mentioned, you're an entrepreneur, you're a businesswoman, you're managing so much, you have companies, you have your social life. Your mind must have already been always on. So is this feeling of it being on even when you're in rest mode, which is not really rest mode, but when you're this postpartum, is the feeling of your brain just being on constantly, is this a new feeling or does it feel familiar or just not able to rest at all?
It feels just supercharged, if that makes sense. In these moments where I'm doing 19 things at once because women are the ultimate multitaskers, I sometimes stop and think to myself, you really should take a rest day because you actually need to heal from your C-section. You should take a rest day because I want to do something new with Nell today that I've been thinking about for the next couple of days. And that's kind of the best way that I can explain it, right? Like you have these additional responsibilities, but you also have the responsibility to yourself to take care of yourself so that you can do all of these things. And I think that specifically has been one of the biggest challenges for me as I've had a baby. And I get back to work and I'm trying to heal from a very complicated postpartum in a physical sense. And so it's like I'm acutely aware that I need to be doing more for myself, but I'm just not doing the things for myself that I should be doing yet. And I'm trying to massage the schedule every day and what I'm thinking about and what I'm prioritizing so that I can do that a little bit more. Does that make sense? I'm like aware that I need to do it and I'm just not doing it. I'm putting everything else ahead of that.
I was just thinking when you were saying that I should take a rest day or I should do this. I feel like often as moms, we're like, oh, I should eat better or I should go on a walk or I should meditate this morning. And then you just don't get around to do it. So have you been able to do what you should do and take a rest day? Or is this just like, it's not happening?
No, it's not happening. Yeah, no, it's not happening. What I will say though is that I think it will start to happen because of the physical challenges. I haven't really been cleared to exercise or start trying to become one with my body again until very recently, right? My doctor just cleared me after this surgery to start doing breathing and pelvic floor exercises. And so I have just hired this incredible woman to help me with that for 4 to 6 weeks. And then once I graduate from that, then I can think about actually exercising again. But my body has just been in this state of upheaval from healing point of view that's very weird. And so I haven't been able to like do those things for myself. And so I think now that I have gotten the thumbs up, I will be putting more of a focus on that because I'm so eager to reclaim my body and feel strong again and not feel so fatigued. And I think a lot of that comes with making not even big shifts, but micro shifts in what I'm doing every single day to focus on my like sense of self and well-being. The one thing I will say is that we have a night nurse, and so I have been able to sleep overnight, and we're so like blessed and privileged to that, you know, that aspect. But given how complicated my recovery has been, I think if we didn't have that help, my recovery would be really bad. If I haven't had the opportunity to sleep a couple of nights a week when she's here, I would think I would be in a really bad place.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I feel like for you, and I've watched a couple of interviews where you've talked about having the ability to feel like yourself again or reclaim your body. Obviously, you've been open about your journey to pregnancy, IVF, egg freezing, the whole experience. Then you're pregnant, and then you have this insane postpartum experience, which really takes your inability to feel your body or feel like yourself again to a whole other level. So many people are like, okay, you look forward to the day of delivering your baby and you're like, okay, now I'm going to slowly start to feel like my new self again. What has the emotional part of that been like for you? Because of course, the physical part we've talked about has been really challenging. You had a C-section. That is a huge surgery that you have to recover from physically. Then you go back and do another procedure. Your body had a freak accident situation where, so like, what's that been like?
I think for anyone who has gone through a fertility journey in addition to pregnancy and delivery and just any recovery, never being done with the next medical thing feels really exhausting. And it's like a roller coaster that you are so desperate to get off of, but you just cannot get off of the ride. And specifically with this whole retained placenta thing and all the appointments and all the scans and just the weird stuff that happened, it just felt like, well, what's the next thing? And then the next thing would happen. And I think emotionally, I'm very ready to be done with that. It's been so exhausting to go from like egg cycles and injections to a surgery, to this surgery, to getting pregnant, to delivering your baby after you've gone through your whole pregnancy, to then have more medical issues follow. It feels never ending. And that is emotionally very tough. I don't really know how to recover from that kind of medical trauma. Do you know what I mean? Because I think you can classify that as medical trauma at this point.
For sure. Yeah.
I have a lot of fear of getting pregnant again now and giving birth. And I had all these weird things happen, like the diabetes and the hypertension and the placenta. It's like, I'm scared to do it again, but I want to to have another kid. And I don't know how to make peace with all of the things that have happened yet. Again, for any like IVF mom, the journey is very long and it's a very weird and winding road. And you really have to give so much of yourself physically and mentally and hormonally over and over and over again to get to the outcome which you want. And yeah, it's just tough. It's hard to explain. You're so grateful to be at the finish line, which is I have my incredible baby. But then on the other hand, you're like, do I ever get me back after this process? And I don't have the answer to that yet. I don't know if you ever get yourself back or if you become a new person. And I suspect that you become a new person and you get comfortable with that new person and you fall in love with that new person. And that is what happens. But I can't tell you definitively yet.
Did this idea of getting me back, was that something that was looming during your pregnancy or during your IVF treatment or postpartum? Or when did that even pop into your mind?
I think really it's been heavy in the postpartum season. And I think that is a very common experience for new moms and anybody going through postpartum because the hormone shift is just so dramatic and everything feels like 100 instead of a 10 on a scale. You know what I mean? And so I think it has really come into focus for me that this period of recovery is particularly challenging for women and really overlooked because you become a mom for the first time or you have another kid, so you're a little bit more prepared. But you're doing all of this for the very first time. People can tell you about this stuff, but until you actually live it and breathe it and experience it, you just don't understand, right? And I think it has been this period with these complications layered on top that have made it more challenging. And so I'm scared to be pregnant again and to give birth again, but I would like to do it again so that I can hopefully have a better outcome the next time and experience that because I'm a human and I'm curious about these things, right?
Yeah. No, it's definitely, I mean, also being so close to having just gone through it, you don't sound like you're a year later or anything like
right.
that. You're still very freshly new as a mom. And so it's, of course, still terrifying and daunting to even think of having to do anything remotely similar to what you just experienced and went through because it was so traumatizing. I like when you're talking about when you get this, your old self back or when you get me back, because I think it's a feeling that a lot of new moms and even second or third time moms have that feeling at some point. It could be just after having a baby or a couple months later. And I think a lot of women feel guilty feeling that way because it almost feels like, well, shouldn't I be grateful for whatever this new phase is? But it's also grief of what you were familiar with before that. But also talking about that can sometimes be, am I going to rub someone the wrong way? Like, have you felt that?
You know, I have been talking pretty openly about my pregnancy and new mom experience on my social media and on the podcast. And one of the very first things I like to point out is the duality that we experience in motherhood and that gratitude and grief can exist at the same time, right? Just like other feelings, right? I can be upset about something, but also enjoy certain aspects of it at the same time, right? Humans are complex and our emotions are complex and they don't exist in silos. They layer on top of each other, right? And I think that that narrative that you have to be just one thing or the other thing is incorrect. And the more that we talk about the fact that gratitude and grief can coexist, the more that especially new moms can understand that, hey, what I experienced and went through is really challenging. But at the same time, I am so thrilled that I was able to have that experience because my family has grown as a result and I have a child as a result. And this is what I wanted, right?
Yeah. How are you holding that feeling of the dance of will I get myself back or will I be a totally new person? Like emotionally, how are you handling that?
You know, I'm really happy to be a mom. And I know that my life has changed very meaningfully. And in those ways, I'm so excited that I'm not the person that I used to be, right? I think for me, a lot of where my personal pressure points lie are with the physical things that I have gone through and how that becomes or influences your emotional state, right? For me, I've experienced such significant fatigue throughout my postpartum because first you're recovering from a major surgery and then you have a placenta that's left behind, and then you have this underlying chronic infection that has been brewing and developing, and your body is trying to do 20 different things at once. And so my fatigue has been just monumental, so huge. And the only thing that I can think of in terms of, oh, I want to get me back, is I just don't want to be so monumentally tired anymore. And I'm just not talking about like new parent tired. You know what I mean? I'm talking about this crazy thing happened to me that I'm trying to recover from, and the recovery is not going great. That's the kind of fatigue that I'm talking about. And so if I could just like escape from that, and I have been, like today is the last day of my antibiotic. And like, I feel so much better in the last few days now that this infection is not like, you know, ruining me from the inside out. I'm just trying to run from the fatigue. I'm not trying to run from the new identity. I love my new identity. Do I love my new body? No, but I'll work on that. I'll figure that out, right? I'm just running from the physical exhaustion of, like I said, a series of misfortunate events.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
No, it really is incredible. I mean, when you think about the different layers of your body needing to heal and also needing to have time and then having setbacks, it's very jolting, I would imagine, just for you emotionally and also physically to be like, I'm on my way. No, I'm not. Like it's like a crazy ride.
Yeah. Well, I think we're told this story that all of this is supposed to be so joyful, and so much of it is so joyful, but there's a big part of it that is also very, very challenging. And we're not telling those stories enough. And I am somebody that is outspoken and I speak my truth. And so I'm just telling my story. And as a result, I am seeing so many women tell me their stories. And it's like we're burying this pain and this grief inside of us. Because again, we just had a baby and it's incredible, but more can exist than just those feelings and just that experience, right?
Yeah, for sure. You talked about your podcast, which I think is amazing because it's just very honest and open, and it's amazing that you're sharing all of that and you're very freshly postpartum while doing it.
That's the point. That's the point. I wanted to make it in real time so that it is just very authentic.
So you started recording the podcast, how postpartum were you?
So I recorded a few episodes, some of the very early episodes when I was still pregnant. And then I started to record maybe a month or 6 weeks after I had given birth. Some of these next early episodes, I recorded an episode that I think is the third or fourth one I published called I'm Trapped in My Postpartum Body. And I recorded it the day I found out that I had retained this placenta. And I've watched it back and I'm like, damn girl, you were really going through it. I'm actually getting excited to get into some different content and different types of conversations so that it's not all just this like heavy birth story, postpartum type of stuff, because I really want the show to follow my own trajectory and my own journey for that authenticity and kind of reflect what I'm going through and where I'm at. And so the whole show is not going to be like a birth story downer. That is not what I want the show to be.
But what is that? What's that been like for you? Because it's not like a lot of people hop on a recording session when they're 6 weeks postpartum and then also have these other challenges that you're factoring in? Like, how important was this to you to be authentic, to be really raw and vulnerable, and to talk about all of the things that you're talking about?
The most important, the like primary goal is authenticity. And I even spoke to my therapist about it. She was like, it probably feels really good to tell your story, right? And I said, yeah, actually, it feels extremely cathartic because all of this stuff that hurts, I'm getting out of my body. And then the audience is hearing it and understanding, oh, it's actually safe to share these stories. So then they're getting it out of their bodies. And it's this back and forth thing that's happening. And I think it's very healing for a lot of women. You should see my inbox.
I was just going to ask you about that.
It is remarkable. The stories that women are sharing with me will blow your mind.
Like, what are they? Give us some highlights.
Everything from miscarriage stories after attempting IVF for so long to really joyful, hopeful stories of I'm a single and I want to have my own baby and I just chose my surrogate and my baby is going to be here in 9 months. And how incredible is that? Because I've been talking so much lately about my postpartum, I'm getting a lot of moms that are sharing their postpartum experiences with me, and they're really getting into just kind of how abandoned they feel above all else. They may have partners, they may have great family, but the postpartum experience is such a unique human experience, I think, because of the hormone shifts and the healing that has to happen and the identity shift of motherhood on top of that, that people like don't have an outlet to talk about this stuff, right? And I think we can acknowledge that it is hard, and hard things ultimately build up inside of you and you have to get them out. And so they're doing that by sending me these stories. It's just like, I can send you some of them afterwards. They're crazy. Each one is unique and raw, but you see yourself in every single story. Whether it's I need more help or I need more support or I have so much support and it's been going great. You can identify yourself in every piece of content that they've shared with me.
What has it been like to have so many people send you stories or just even feel like they feel seen in your new experience that you're very much navigating in real time?
It feels really good. It feels like I took a bet when I was like, I'm going to make this podcast about motherhood and all this stuff. And what are people going to think? I took a bet. And ultimately, the payoff is that this community is being created. And that is what rises above and becomes the most important thing, is that we're allowed to talk about this stuff. We have a space that we can talk about this stuff. It's a non-judgmental space, apart from maybe the comment section on certain things here and there, which frankly, you can ignore. I think that the fourth trimester is a moment in a woman's life where she is the most underserved in her entire life, because I have felt that way. It's the most underserved moment where my needs have not been met in my entire life. And again, I'm mostly talking about medical stuff, but the lack of resources, right? Like, where do you even turn to get help with all of this stuff? And I live in New York City, where people are always like, I'm a this expert. And it's confusing to navigate all of this stuff. And so I think just being able to create a space where women can tell these stories and connect is the point of the show, right? It's not about driving ad sales.
Yeah. No, I mean, when you're talking about feeling underserved and just like the feeling of being postpartum and feeling abandoned or lonely in that experience, where do you turn or where have you found yourself turning for support?
My husband has been my greatest source of support. He is such an incredible partner and father. And I think when you really love somebody and you see them struggling deeply, you show up or you don't. And he has shown up to the max. And he has done that in addition to his own huge identity shift, right? And his own feelings about becoming a dad and, oh my gosh, our life and our baby and all of these things. We have a great relationship and we communicate so openly and honestly. And he really has been my primary source of support. And then I have worked to cobble together experts, you know, a psychiatrist, just this week, a pelvic floor expert, somebody who helps with lymphatic massage because you need to get your lymph going and all of these things. but I haven't been able to find a medical professional that can really support me postpartum yet, which is pretty shocking. I have a couple doctors with specialties that are helping me in small ways here and there. But where's the postpartum doctor?
It's true. Where is the postpartum doctor?
That person doesn't exist.
It's really crazy when you think about during your pregnancy and leading up to being pregnant or becoming pregnant, you create this relationship with doctors or your IVF doctor or your fertility doctor and then your OB for so long. And you see this person all the time. They're constantly checking in on you. You're going to appointments. You're seeing them all the time. For me, like I was like, look, I always would look forward to seeing the girl at the front desk, seeing the nurse who would like take my blood pressure.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then it's all of a sudden you have the baby and it's like all of it's gone. You go to your 6-week appointment afterwards, but it's not like you don't have that same sense of community or routine or even somebody checking in on you, which is really the time that you are needing it the most. And the paperwork of the little questionnaire that's like grading you and how your mental state is after you have a baby is also in need of major improvement. But it's always interesting to me. Each time I've had a baby, I'm like, I spent all this time going to my doctor, having this relationship, being checked in on. And then you're just like, the person who would check in on me the most, aside from my husband and my family, was my pediatrician. They'd be like, so how are you? How are you sleeping? And I remember getting emotional the first time my pediatrician asked me because I was like, thank you for asking me. No other doctor's asking me.
And I think that's because it's understudied. It's not researched. It's not funded, right? So who would specialize in that when you don't even have good research to go off of? How can you provide care, right?
Yeah. No, we have so much work to do. I know we've spent a lot of time talking about so many different experiences that you've had, and you've mentioned all the other things that you have going on right now and also before you gave birth, whether it's friendships, your social life, your marriage, your work life, which you have so much responsibility in, and now motherhood. What is that balance looking like for you? And do you think that that even exists, like the word balance?
Yeah, no, there is no balance in my life currently. But I am only 3.5 months postpartum. And I think that the expectation that new parents in the first year can find balance that reflects what their old life looks like is just not a reality. And I'm already comfortable with that. It doesn't bother me that my life has changed so much. I love the way that my life has changed because I'm so excited to be a mom. I love being a mom. But I'm comfortable with it. It's okay. And I know that as the baby's schedule gets easier and I can figure out what my new schedule looks like at work once I go back full time, and that can align with my husband's schedule, then oh my God, we are going to have some nights when we're not so tired and we can go out on a date, or we can preemptively plan with a friend and make sure that we have childcare in place, right? I just think until your baby is a little bit older and there's a very regular routine happening, that the expectation that you're going to find balance is just, it is, I think it's a myth.
Yeah, it really is. I'm glad that more people are honestly talking about it being a myth, because it's put so much pressure, that's unnecessary pressure and just like impossible pressure to be like, oh, I'm going to have a date night every single week and then a girls' night every single week. And then on top of it, it's like navigating work life and what your responsibility is there and how you show up there. Has everybody that has been experiencing your shift in your presence at work and all the different things that you've had your hands in, how has that shift been for other people? Like, has it been received well?
I never really went offline. I think as a business owner, you can't really do that. You can't really walk away. You can't really take a break. And I don't expect any sympathy for that, right? But that experience alone, that your mat leave is not a true mat leave, is definitely something that is unique, right? My team has been great. They have completely shored up what we're doing. And I think the moments that I'm there and that I'm in are well received because I have been able to step far enough away that I have gained new perspective, right? It's kind of like when you, at any business, you start just talking to yourself over and over again, like with your team, right? I think that happens at every business. It's like we're just talking to ourselves over and over again, and you need a fresh perspective to be able to bring interesting things back and like change an approach or keep an approach or make updates or whatever. And I have been able to step away far enough to kind of get a fresh perspective on the business. It's like, how are we talking to our customers? And what are some creative things that we can do next? And what should we be making? What are the products we should be making right now, et cetera? So that the time away or the limited time away has helped provide me with a fresh perspective that I think is priceless. So even though I slack a little bit here and there and I email and stuff and I'm still on and available, I have gained some perspective in, I think, ways that will be really helpful for my team.
Do you feel like you're good with boundaries as far as how much you should be doing now that you also have the responsibility of a baby? Or do you feel like that's something that you're still trying to navigate? Like, how much should I be online or how much should I be responding to emails?
I've been pretty good at establishing at least between being a mom and being with my baby and work, I have been very good at establishing a set routine every day. And I sort of hold sacred that routine. I don't have time for a lot else outside of the routine to get to the earlier point, but I have the set routine, right? I spend the first many hours of the day with our baby, and then I try to work during the middle of the day. And then I step back in the late afternoon and do till bedtime, right? And then anything overnight that I need, there's many days of the week that we don't have any childcare. And so on those days, I'm a full-time mom. But I feel really good about the schedule that we have. It allows me to lean into those mom moments, and it allows me to maintain my responsibilities that I have to so many people in my life from a business perspective.
Do you feel like there's been a big shift with your level of accessibility from people that you work with?
Like if they can get in touch with me?
Yeah, you might take longer to respond to an email or respond to a phone call or a text.
At this point in time, people are only escalating to me if they need to. And for that, I'm very grateful and I thank them because I have been able to be hands off the minutiae, the day-to-day, and be available and accessible when somebody really needs me. But I check my emails every day. I check my Slack every day. I'm never really not available. I think when you have a phone and you're me, I can't not do my job. And now I have many jobs. I have the job of being a mom, and then I have all my other jobs. And I can't not do my job. That's just not an available option to me. Because what happens if I don't do my job? Bad things.
Right.
Things that I don't want to have happen.
I feel like that's always something when you don't have like a traditional 9-to-5 job, it's always a struggle for so many people, to myself included, to figure out where are the boundaries that allow you to be present in work, be present as a mom, and not feel the pull or guilt in all the other things that you feel like you're not giving enough to, but then also assuming that it just like exists.
Yeah, I think that the way that I have, at least right now, scheduled my days and how I divide my time is pretty equal between mom and work. And both of those feed my soul in different ways. And I saw enough videos before I gave birth that was like, you better not be on your phone around your baby because they're not going to be able to connect with you emotionally, that I really have established like pretty good guardrails. And I'm like, I'm with my baby. We're reading. We're going on walks. We're singing. Whatever it is. We're just lounging. But I really have tried to put these boundaries into place from the beginning. I think probably it's because everyone has learned how addictive our phones are and how social media can be. And I don't want to be an absent parent simply because I have a phone. That would be unforgivable and very consequential for my daughter, right? If I can't pay enough attention to her because I'm TikToking, that is stupid. That is a failure.
Yeah. Well, I think it sounds like you have such clear and great boundaries with everything. And then also the importance of giving yourself grace in this very freshly postpartum, so far rocky experience that you seem to be hopefully on the other side of.
Weird stuff happens to me my whole life, just weird stuff. Medical oddities happen to me. And I feel like people like that exist, and I am one of them. And it's so weird. And I'm so over it.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm hoping that this is the end of it for you and that now it's going to be just a smooth sailing, good experience. But I'm so grateful that you took time and that this fit into your schedule of your work time, because I know, especially being as postpartum as you are, it's chaotic and hectic and you're so busy. So I appreciate you coming on and chatting about this. And it's just amazing to see you step into this role and then also have such an incredible sense of self-awareness in your whole experience. I think it's a beautiful thing, and it's great that you're being so open about all of it. So thank you.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.